Okay, right. I'm going to start with a quiz. So, kids, it is for you as much as the adults. So, kids, you might need to help the adults with some of these. I'm going to start with a quiz. What I want you to do is shout out who it is. Tell me who it is. And if the answer is actually not Jesus, and you will see by the first one how unhonouring that was of our Lord Jesus Christ, Steve. Right, Toby. In that case, the first one, which is not Jesus, but is. There we go, Nemo. You've equated our Lord Jesus to a fish. Right, this is Nemo from the film Finding Nemo. He goes out and he explores beyond the reef that he lives on and has a wild adventure. Okay, next one, Toby. Who's this? Moana. Moana goes, similar theme. She's on an island, desert island, and she goes out to save her people, has to adventure away from the island into the sea, which is a big worrying thing for her. Okay, next one. Harry Potter. What does Harry Potter do? Defeats Voldemort. Has to fight against the dark magic to kind of save the people of Harry Potter world. Wonderful. Of Harry Potter world, apparently. I mean, it's Britain, isn't it? But it's not Britain anyway. Right, okay, next one. Right. Who's this one? Whoa. Kung Fu Panda, what's his actual name? Oh, anybody know his actual name? It's Po. It's Po from Kung Fu Panda. He, believe it or not, goes from being a noodle chef to being a master in Kung Fu and saving the Kung Fu race. Right, okay, next one. This is one probably kids you won't know. Anybody know what this one is? Cool Runnings. The Jamaican bobsleigh team. This is a film about the Jamaican bobsleigh team, which is hilarious. If you haven't seen it, watch it. This is about the 1988 Winter Olympic Jamaican team that were the first Jamaican team to enter the Winter Olympics, and they went into the bobsleigh. Have they qualified this year? Oh, there we go. I did not know that. So that's who they are. They were mocked by all. They had very little finance, but they wanted to do it. It was a wonderful thing. Right, next one has been my favourite TV show of the last couple of months. Ted Lasso. Who's watched Ted Lasso? That's three of you. Okay, right. If you could get past the swears, it's excellent. This is Ted Lasso. There's a reason for them. This is Ted Lasso. He is an American that comes to manage Richmond Town, a fictional football team that's in the Premier League of England. And he's never seen or watched a game of football in his life. He comes away over from America, planted into this team to try and keep them in the Premier League. It's a wonderful thing. It's got, honestly, it's amazing. And I would very much encourage you to watch it. He is so nice. And it's a wonderful contrast to everybody else who are the Swazi people. But he is so nice in it, and it's just a wonderful. Okay, next one. Who's this? Bear Grylls. Yes, very good. He's done many things, including climbing Mount Everest, I think when he's about 21, something like that. He also, a book that we read about him, he embarked on a 3,000-mile journey in an open rib, so an open boat, one kind of like the big blow-up sides, across the North Atlantic and the Arctic Ocean. I know, absolutely mental. Okay, next one. Who's this? It's David. Yes, this is King David. At the time, he was David the shepherd boy who defeated Goliath by throwing a stone that hit him on the head, having trusted in what God would do. Okay, and the last one, probably the trickiest of the lot, is this one. Who do you think this is? You can't do it because you've got the notes. Joshua and Caleb, yeah. It's Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they set out to as one of the sets of spies that went out into the promised land. And they were the only ones that came back and said, we can do this. And you'll be hearing more about them in a little bit. Okay, I've given you a bit of a rundown of all of these people. What do they all have in common? Brave. That word, there we go. Thank you. The answer is there, it's courage. And this is what we're going to be focusing on this morning, is courage. At the start of January, Julie shared that she felt God calling us, that God was saying and calling us to two things this year, and that was courage and commitment. And so when we hear from God, that's called prophecy, which simply means God speaking to either an individual or a group of people about his will, something that is to come in the future, or something about his character. It's God speaking. And we love it when God speaks to us like this. It's something that we can all expect God to be doing in our lives. And we've heard several people either prophesying or just bringing scripture that came to mind this morning. He is a relational God, isn't he? And so hearing his voice is something that is available to all of us. It says, Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep. Therefore, we know, are able to know his voice. For Julie, she heard God speaking to her through words, which she was unable to share with the rest of the church. And we will read some of what God was saying to, through her later. For others, God may speak through pictures that he puts in your mind. So if I say, think of a purple elephant, can you see it in your mind? God can paste a picture there. I know several of the children had pictures from God last week, and we heard a couple of them share about what he is like, what his character is like. They had a picture in their mind of what God was saying. God is speaking to them through their mind. For others of you, you may get just a strong feeling about something or a real clarity about a situation. That again is God speaking. Others hear God speaking through what they may see around you, whether that's in nature or in culture. And for many of us, we may be drawn to specific Bible verses. And that's the most common way that God will speak to us, is through the Bible. And this is just some of the ways that God speaks prophetically to us. But God is a God that speaks. He speaks to us all. We're all able to hear his voice. None of us are excluded from hearing God's voice. And when we feel God is speaking to us prophetically, when we feel God is speaking to us, we need to do two things. The first thing is we need to weigh it. We need to check what we feel God is saying is actually from him and not our own well-intentioned thoughts or ideas or our own imagination. It's called weighing it. And we can do this by looking at it, see if it's backed up in the Bible. Does it glorify Jesus? Is it encouraging? If we share it with other Christians, do they also sense it's from God? Does the Holy Spirit confirm it to us? Actually, when we hear God speaking, particularly about something significant, we need to be doing these things. We need to be weighing it. We need to be kind of saying, hey, is this God speaking? I want to check it out. I want to read the Bible. I want to speak to a friend and we can pray about it together. The second thing we do, as well as weigh it, is we need to act on it. If we know that God is speaking, we need to act upon what he is saying. That makes sense, right? Is it something we need to do immediately? Is it something we need to hold on to for the future? And you'll see in Scripture there's prophetic promises over people that happen immediately or relatively quickly, and ones that happen a long time later. We'd be pretty dumb sheep if we weren't following our shepherd's voice and his commands. It's good, isn't it? I like this one. It's a dumb sheep. If we hear his voice and we don't follow, we're just like dumb sheep. This is how we get lost. This is how we follow our own way rather than following his way. And so today we're going to be unpacking Julie's prophetic words because we want to be obedient to following him. Now before we get any further, I want to say that Julie's word is not scripture. That scripture is infallible. Scripture is the word of God that we can trust all is true. But when we speak, we acknowledge that we prophesy in part, that we don't always get everything right. And so I'm not saying that what Julie brought is completely scriptural in the sense of it's not, we shouldn't put it into our Bibles and help keep it there. But what we can say is that actually as we've weighed it, as we've read upon it, we've seen that it's encouraging. We see it comes from the Bible. We see that it's helpful for us. And so therefore, we want to take that seriously. Does that make sense? So we be clear, it's not Bible, but it is biblical and it is God speaking. And that's why we want to share it this morning and unpack it a bit, because actually we want to take note of what God is saying. So let's have a read of some of that together. So Julie started by saying this. The Lord will give us two words for this year. And those words are courage and commitment. There is a fear that comes over the whole earth. And even God's people are not immune to that fear. People are being overcome by fear. This is why you will need courage. The courage to face your fears, those fears that you have put upon yourself, and those fears that are within you and are fed by doubt. And those are the fears that are imposed upon you from the outside sources. Courage comes by my Spirit. Courage comes by my Spirit through my Word. Ultimately, courage to overcome all things comes from love, the perfect, holy love of God, our Father. It makes sense, and we were talking about this in Connect Group on Monday evening, it makes sense that you will only need courage when there is something scary to overcome. That if life is easy, or the situation is easy, you don't need courage to overcome it because there's nothing fearful about it. If there's nothing scary or fearful in front of you, you won't need courage. So for Joshua and Caleb, they showed courage to go into the Promised Land. God had promised the land of Canaan as their new home for the Israelite people. He brought them out of Egypt and he says, this is going to be your land. Go and spy it out, see what it's like, and come back. But when they went to spy it out, they saw there were fortified cities and huge strong soldiers in their way, as well as huge bunches of grapes and a land flowing with milk and honey. And most of the spies came back afraid and said, we can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are all able to overcome it. They had confidence and courage to look past what they seemed scary, what seemed in front of them, to trust in what God had said. They looked past the scariness, they looked past the giants, they looked past the difficulty, because they looked past that to see what God has said. And this is what Julie's word goes on to say. There'll be challenges ahead, and we may be fearful or find things difficult. We may have our David's Goliath in front of us, a thing which feels challenging, big and scary. But we are called to have courage. So let's continue with unpacking what Julie shared together. So we continued by saying this. You will need the courage to deal with your fear. You'll need courage to stand firm in your belief. You will need courage to stand for righteousness in an unrighteous world. You will need courage to stand firm in your convictions, your Christian values. The world does not have those values. You need courage to stand and remain firm to your conviction, to your faith, to those doctrines that you hold fast to the truth of your God. You need courage to stand. People may come against you. People may mock. But there are things of unrighteousness in this world that is not pleasing to a holy God. You have the words of faith and belief, and you need the courage to deliver. It's not time to stand and be silent. It's not a time to let others come to the fore with their acts of unrighteousness. Now is the time for you to stand firm upon the foundation of Christ. The world we live in does not have the same values or foundations as we do. Where the rest of the world builds its life on its own ability, its own achievement, what it says about itself, we build our life upon Jesus. He is our rock. He is the one that we build our life upon. Jesus is not a nice addition that we put on top on a Sunday morning. He's not like the cherry on top of a cake. Jesus is the cake itself. Jesus is the cake itself. He's everything. And this completely changes everything. The way we view everything is completely different because of Jesus. He gives us an eternal and heavenly perspective. We look beyond what we may see of this world. We look to something so much bigger, so much more. And inevitably, this will bring tension as we make decisions and choices that are different to those around us. You may have your friends go, why are you spending your money on that? Why are you doing this? Why are you giving your time to doing this thing when you could have a line on a Sunday morning? Our decisions different to the world's decisions because our perspective and our focus is on Jesus. It brings attention, but it also brings huge opportunity. We get to show people around us that what life can be like with Jesus. We get to show people a better way. When they say, oh, why are you doing this? You can say, because my Jesus is so much better than all of this stuff. Julie's word continued by saying, courage by my Spirit, courage to love, courage to show what life is like for those who belong in the family of God. You have the right to love. You have the right to forgive, to be gracious and merciful. But you need courage to do that. And by my Spirit, you will receive that courage. You do not have to live in fear of others. And I call you to commit. To commit to living your lives boldly for Christ. To commit to living your life in the light of the Lord Jesus. Who would say, don't hide your light under a table. But let your light shine in a dark and fearful world. Friends, God has good things for us to do in this valley. He has good things for us to do in this valley. It's not just about us, it's about what this valley needs. And this theme of being a light in the darkness is one that God has spoken to us about before. That it's part of the prophetic word that we received from Shelley when we were praying back in 2017 about this being a dark valley with fires on the hills. Light in the darkness. It's something that God's spoken to us about before. We're called to stand out. We're called to live differently to the rest of the world and to show people what God is like. We're called to be a people that call others into the family of God, helping people commit their life to Jesus as followers of Him. That's what we're called to do, to stand out, to be a difference to the world and call people into what God has for us. And this is the message of the whole Bible. The Bible is about a people that stand out. We've sung about being holy. We're a holy people. Holy means to be set apart. If we're a holy people, we are apart from the world. We're different to the world. That the Israelites, as they travelled around through the Old Testament, they were different to everybody else. And when they tried to fit in, that's when they became unstuck. And as Jesus' followers in the New Testament, we see again, they're different to the people around them, to the Jew, to the Romans. They were different. The whole message of the Bible can be summed up in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which is, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Calling people to join the God who is so much greater than everything that we have. But this isn't easy. It takes courage and it takes commitment. And our courage doesn't come from ourselves. What we're not saying is, you must try harder. You must do more. You must be braver by yourself. Our courage and our commitment comes from God. And Julie's word highlighted two things that will help us to find our courage in God. They were God's word and God's love. So in Joshua 1, verses 7 to 9, Joshua is called to be strong and courageous. And I'll read it out for us. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua is told he'll be strong and courageous as he meditates on the word and studies the word of God. As he reads the scripture, he will grow in courage. God's word grows our courage. The Bible is full of stories and promises that show us God's faithfulness and that He is with us. All the way through, you see again and again and again God showing His faithfulness. Showing His faithfulness to us as people and showing us His faithfulness to His promises. But more than that, the Bible shows us the victory that Jesus has won over sin and brokenness. That He won on the cross and that we now live in. That when we read the Bible, we see a victorious story. A story of Jesus winning, of defeating death and sin. And therefore we are declared to be a victorious people. As we commit our lives to God, as we receive forgiveness from our sin, receiving Jesus' righteousness for ourselves, we are declared victorious through Jesus. Knowing that we are brought into God's victory grows our courage. If you know you're on the winning team,
your courage grows. God's love also grows our courage. As earthly parents, we need to help our kids grow in courage by putting them in situations which may be a little bit scary or challenging for them. But we do that from a place of knowing, of them knowing that they are loved and cared for. That as parents, we'll put our children into situations where they have to take a big breath. Go, okay, I'm going to do it. When we know we're loved, we feel secure. And it's out of that place of security we can have courage to step out in faith and obedience. If we know we're loved, that's where we find a security and therefore can step out from that place. It's like a child being encouraged to jump into their parents' arms. The child is nervous but has confidence in their parents because they know they are loved. The parent doesn't stand at the bottom and say, have more courage, try harder, you can do it. They say, come, I'll catch you, I love you, it's okay. Do you see the difference? It's not a browbeating, it's not like, come on, come on. It's, you're loved, I've got you. Therefore, when we jump, we do that out of a place of knowing we are loved. And if we know deep down in our spirit the love that God has for us, it changes how we think and it changes how we act. If we know God's love deep down within us, it changes how we think and act. And so this morning we need to be reminded that we are loved. We need to be reminded that we're loved. I don't know how you've come this morning, whether you are feeling pretty good about yourself, good about your relationship with Jesus, whether you're coming feeling weary and burnt out and tired or like you've let him down. You're loved. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. No matter how much trying, how much praying, how much doing good things you do, that won't make God love you anymore. His love for you is complete already. And likewise, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. No matter how far you fall short, how unkind you are to a friend or a partner, you can't be loved any less by Jesus. He loves you. He loves you deeply. And as we allow the Spirit to fill us with the love of Jesus, and see his victory through what we read in the Bible, we will grow in our courage and our commitment. As we allow the Spirit to just fill us with that love, as we read the Word of God, read the promises, read the truth, read the story of his victory, we will grow in courage and we will grow in commitment. Courage and commitment when we're fearful to stand out and show those around us the hope that can be found in Jesus. The courage to tell your friends at school what you did on Sunday morning. The courage to speak to your colleagues about how you can pray for their situation that they're finding tough at home. There's courage in there. It's scary, isn't it? That I've prayed for guys at my hockey team who are probably more like the rest of the team in Ted Lasso than they are Christian. But I've gone, okay, Jesus, I know you love me, so I can do this. And so I've offered to pray, and I've prayed for some of them. That took courage. It was scary. So we're called to have courage and commitment when we're fearful, where we're scared to stand out, when we're scared to show those around us the hope that can be found in Jesus. And Judy's word concludes with this. Courage and commitment. These are your words to take through you this year and see what my Spirit does. See what my power when released through faithfulness can achieve. You do not need to fear. You need to seek my Spirit for courage and commitment to that way. And you will see the power of God in action. As we step out, as we jump like the little child, We will see God do incredible things because he is a God of victory. That we're not jumping out of a place of hope. We're jumping out of a place of expectation. Out of truth, of knowing that Jesus has won the victory already. Is that good news? It's not just we'll kind of have a go and see what happens. It's like, no. As we step out in courage, because Jesus loves us and because we've seen how faithful he is and because we know he's victorious, we know things will happen. Because God is victorious. And so I feel, as I begin to close, there's a moment for us here. We've heard God speaking prophetically, and therefore we're called to act. We're not called to be dumb sheep, we're called to act, to hear his voice and follow what he's saying. We're not called to be a comfy church. We're not called to be a comfy church. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy our times together. It doesn't mean that we can celebrate and have good times in fellowship together. Of course we can. But if we stay in that place of being comfy, in here on a Sunday morning, in our connect groups, and are not actually jumping out into the world around us, we've missed something of what God has for us. We're called to be courageous and committed to declaring the gospel, to listening to what God says, and following what he says, so this valley may know the joy of its salvation. And this year, God has exciting things for us to do. And so I want to give us all the opportunity to ask God where he wants us to step out with courage and commitment this year. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have a little bit of time where we can just ask God, God, where is it that you want me to step out in courage? Where's the place where you want me to jump and trust that you've got me? And I also want to give us the opportunity to receive the love of God afresh again. Without knowing God's love, we will do things out of obligation. I want to do it out of a place of security and knowing, having confidence, knowing the love of our Father. And so at our prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, Shelley felt God speaking to her through Ephesians 3. And it's something that we've heard from others as well. I know, Nick, you've had the same. And so what I want us to do is, as Shelley is going to just kind of read and pray over us the love of God, and just receive again the love that God has for us.
Feels a bit scary. When we were at the prayer meeting and we were looking through the word that Julie brought, it really struck me that, you know, there's a lot of talking about so courage, commitment, going out, like facing your fears, facing what sometimes scares us, speaking to others. But as Viv has shared more, that, you know, the root and the anchor of all things was to be rooted in God's love. And we didn't talk about this before, but Viv shared that picture of David and Goliath, and it's something that's been stirring in me in the last couple of weeks about when David goes out to face Goliath. He doesn't really go out and, like, look at Goliath and size him up. He does the one thing that he knows, which is how to pick, like, smooth, flat stones. And he goes out and he focuses on picking up, well, I think it's three, but the number is... No, neither here nor there, but he goes out and does the one thing that he knows, which he has practiced, which he has seen success with before in fighting lions and tigers and bears and people and all sorts to protect his sheep. And I think that it spoke to me in a way of going, God's not asking us to do something different. He's asking us to dwell in his word as we've always done, to be filled with his love, but to be filled to the point of overflowing, that should a Goliath come or something that scares us, whether that's even just talking to our next door neighbor, because it's natural to feel these fears sometimes, but actually speak what we know. We know that God loves us. We know that Jesus died for us. You know, those are things that we go over every Sunday. Those are things that we say in our prayers. And like what Carla was talking to about, speak these things out. Like, praise the Lord, oh my soul, because it will come out of you. And so there was a few people at the prayer meeting, and I felt like in a prophetic way to speak over the people who were there as a representation of church. But this morning I have the opportunity to pray over you as church, these words from Ephesians 3. So if you would like to just stand so that we engage with the word. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, put your hands in front of you. So for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And church, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray you may be strengthened with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for you. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for you. For you, City Valley Church Airedale. For you as an individual. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Just going to read the end bit in a different translation because it translates a bit better. So that we, being established in love, so may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, that we are loved, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, filled with life, filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with the goodness of God. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word encourages us, that your word reminds us of that which is. Thank you, Lord, that when we have said we believe Jesus is the Son of God, we have said it in faith, that we have been redeemed and forgiven, that you have put your love in our hearts. Father, continue to fill us with your love, that with our eyes fixed on you, just like that small boy, he doesn't look around at what is fearful, but with our eyes fixed on you, we can jump and we can speak, that we are filled with all the fullness of life and with power that comes from God. Father, fill us again with the knowledge of your love in the depth of our spirit, in the depth of our soul, that we might be filled to overflowing and that we might see your power at work in us. Lord, that this would be a year of courage and commitment, that we would have stories and testimonies of where we have stepped out, of where we have seen God move, because he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine through the power of Christ in us. Thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. You have never left us. You never will. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you go before us. Father, I pray a blessing upon our church. I pray a blessing of these words upon our church. Lord, let that be so, that what your word has said would come to fruition. That we would have courage and commitment to the people around us, to serve in your church, to giving you glory in the way that we live. Jesus' name. Amen.